It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello everyone and welcome to episode number 220 of Meat Trapper Radio. We are now getting into trapping season. People are out there setting still, depending upon what state that you're in, of course. Some people are setting still all year around. But you can feel it in the weather, and it's time to get out there and get to it. So if you need any last-minute supplies, be sure and check out southernsnares.com. Mr. Brian McKee is the sponsor of this broadcast, and I would appreciate you giving him a chance to earn your business. I can promise you, you will not be disappointed. Now, we've got a number of things to talk about on tonight's broadcast. One of the first things we're going to do is we're going to get an update from Socialist Scandinavia from Patreon member Eric the Viking. Eric is a good friend of mine, and he is he's also an IT guy, which makes him a good dude. But he lives in a socialist country over in Scandinavia, and he's going to give us a report on how the chickens are coming home to roost. In other words, the liberals over there have been pushing the COVID thing, and now the COVID thing is coming back to bite them in the butt, and they don't like it. So he's got a good segment on that. We've got some insider information from some law enforcement sources. I've talked extensively about the coming constitutional crisis around the election and possibly the Barr investigation and other things. And yes, they are preparing and they are gearing up. So I've got some information to share with you in that regard. Of course, I have to keep everything anonymous. We're going to talk about some alternative communications and how some of that works. And then a little later on the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some more censorship stuff. We're going to do sort of a deep dive into the recent issue incident in Los Angeles, where once again the Antifa tactics are evolving. They actually deployed a vehicle-mounted quick reaction force to chase somebody down and assault them. And we're going to go into detail on that because you need to understand these things. So first, let me also welcome all the new Patreon members. We even had a gentleman who invited a coworker to join, and he did. And this is a wonderful thing, and I want to thank him for that. He knows who he is. But this is how we have to network. And of course, you know, you have to use your best judgment about where you work and who you work with and all of that. But there are a number of ways to reach out and help people. And coworkers are one of them. Another is if you're a churchgoer. Most churches now have what they call small groups. At least, down south here, they're popular. And what a small group is a group of individuals that meet up during the week. And what they'll do is they'll not only talk about religious matters, but they'll actually get out and go do something. And so there are people that have formed archery small groups. In other words, a couple of guys, 5 or 6, 10 guys that are into archery get together. They go out to the archery range. They shoot. Shoot arrows and all of that stuff, and then they'll go to a coffee house and share, you know, religious matters. So you can form groups like that, and there are people that have formed prepper groups or disaster preparedness groups, ham radio groups, different things like that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can be out there networking if you just put your mind to it. So anyway, Let's take a listen to what Eric has to say from Scandinavia, beautiful Scandinavia.
Hi, Tim. This is Eric the Viking. Little story today about current events during this scamdemic. As you know, I work IT in the travel industry. I've been doing that for a couple of years now. So far, it has gone very well until the Wuhan virus, the dangerous Wuhan virus, went on the loose. And as we all know, with the different lockdowns around the world, we know how the economy has been flipped upside down for many people, including me. First of all, I have to say this podcast has taught me so much, and it actually inspired me to be a little bit smart a couple of months ago. So I applied for the we call it the union representative of my company. I saw where this was going, so I thought I would try to position myself a little bit better instead of having to go for a job hunt in a very difficult market. So I became the union representative of my company. It doesn't make me immune, but it helps me pretty good. And lo and behold, a couple of weeks ago, they started cutting people from work. And now the liberals are terrified and they are getting fired. Funny enough, it's for the most part the conservative folks that are that are keeping their job, you know, the productive people, the people that actually have positions that are essential, kind of, for the company. So in Norway it's quite difficult to fire people, but now they have their chance, and they are whooping them out one by one. So being the union representative, I have to be in the meetings and, you know, help them through and just see that the process of firing someone is being done correct. But what I've noticed, you know, I have at my work, I try to keep politics under the radar for the most part, although I will say my opinion about some things, but I'm not getting into arguments with people. That's not very good in a socialist country. That can cost you your job. But you know what? The liberals now, the Karens, you know, crying, oh, lockdown, you know, oh, we all have to wear masks in the office environment, and we have to wear masks when we go out, and mask when you sleep, and mask when you're having sex with your wife. I don't know what they, when they don't want to wear a mask. But you know what? Now that they are getting fired, suddenly there is a change of heart. Suddenly all the facts that I have stated to them suddenly matters. You know, the fact that, you know, you have at least here, you have a 99.6 survivability to survive. You know, in Norway we had about 267 dead of COVID, supposedly, versus usually there is over 1,000 people dying of regular flu each year. Hell, you know, we have around, give or take, 500 suicide each year, you know. So it's, you know, when you put numbers in perspective, you know, I'm not saying you should joke about this virus. It is for some people, it is quite dangerous. But you know what, if you are old or you have a different diseases, this would be dangerous for you anyway. So now, you know, they all suddenly starting agree with me, and they actually starting seeing facts. Oh yeah, we have to open up the country fully, you know, we have to get in the tourists again, and, you know, oh no, lockdown was a mistake. But you know what? It is too late, and now you're out of work. Good luck paying off your Audi. You know, good luck paying off your house mortgage. You're screwed. And you are being kicked out in a devastating job market. It is a clown world. I don't think I have other words for it. And the funny thing is that now I have to sit down heart to heart with the different department chiefs for the company. And you know what? They are Trump supporters. They really pray, even though we live on the other side of America. All of us wants Trump to win because we know a healthy America means a lot of money for Norwegian industry. Heck, I have never earned so good money when Bush was president. He was a blessing, although maybe not for the general Americans. It created a lot of good work in my country. So I sold all my stocks today. Maybe that is a mistake. Maybe I can squeeze out some more, but I'm not gonna take any more chances. And I really hope 2021 is gonna be somewhat a better year. If suddenly after the election, there will be hopefully a magical vaccine popping up that will eradicate COVID in 2 weeks. You know, it is amazing, Tim. So thank you very much for a fantastic podcast, all the work you do. You really know how much I appreciate our talks together. Also put in an extra prayer for our friend James, Patriot member James, who's undergoing a serious operation. So let's keep our brother in our minds, and hopefully he will have a speedy recovery, because I look forward to meet him. Or else I'm gonna kick his ass. So have a good one, Tim, and I'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Well, thank you, Eric. And it's funny, you know, what's the old saying? Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. It's funny how the liberals want to impose their will and on everybody else, but then when they have to take a spoonful of their own medicine, it doesn't taste very good. You know, unfortunately, the difference between the United States and Scandinavia, it sounds like in Scandinavia, at least the socialists there do work. Here, most of them don't. Most of them live off the backs of the taxpayer, and even the ones that do have a job have useless jobs, such as university professor and community outreach manager and social media manager and director of outreach for nonprofit organizations funded by government and George Soros. And, you know, there's no way to measure productivity on them because they don't do anything productive. They don't make a product. They don't weld anything. They don't write any code. They don't do any of that. So, you know, and the other thing is, what's interesting to watch with all these riots is how many of these people that are getting arrested are school teachers and professors, and nothing ever happens to them. The local George Soros-backed district attorneys simply refuse to file charges if they're liberal, so they get released and let go. And then their local teachers' unions won't take any action or fire them or anything, so they get arrested 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and nothing happens. But what can you do? You know, I say let them burn their own cities down. So the next thing I want to share with you, you know, on previous episodes, I've talked at length about the impending constitutional crisis, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do, but I don't think I am. And that is with the election coming up. You need to go back and listen to some prior episodes to get a feel on that. But we're getting set up to where the election's going to be drug out and drug out and drug out, with no winner come Inauguration Day, and the whole thing goes to the courts. And if they can block Trump getting a new Supreme Court justice in, then it'll be a 4-4 court and just a real mess. But anyway, I had an email from a gentleman who was in law enforcement who shall remain anonymous, and I'm going to obfuscate any location information or state information or anything like that, because anyone that sends me anything can rest assured of absolute anonymity. I can promise you that. But he said, "Tim, in light of what you've been discussing in the past couple of episodes on Patreon, I've been working security at a local plant. The other night, as the employees were going on lunch, one of them shouted out, 'Oh my God, look at this.' He's in the National Guard, and he had just received an email in reference to being ready for immediate deployment in the event of civil unrest. The dates were from October the 15th through February." Interesting. What falls right in the middle of that? That would be the election and the inauguration. Exactly what I've been talking about. He goes on to mention that he's been working side jobs in security. And one of the places that he has been doing that is at a grocery store. And he talked about how they are implementing new security policies. And they not only have an armed guard, but they are doubling up on the guard at the grocery store. And what do they sell at the grocery store? Food. That ought to tell you something. Read between the lines. The place that sells food is going to armed guards. And this is a major national chain. I'm not going to mention any names, but it is a major national grocery chain. So you just read between the lines, and you remember what I've been preaching for how many years now? Let's see. And he goes on into detail about his employment and some employment changes that he's making that are coming up. He has contacts in the state police. Put it that way, high up in the state police. And he says basically they're in a frenzy, that the higher ups at the state level of law enforcement in that particular area, they're crapping their pants about what is going on and what is coming down the pike. So there's a lot going on here. And it was interesting. He shared some stories in his email about dealing with young black males and females when he was in law enforcement. And he relayed one story that, if you tell people not to do something, they're going to do exactly that just to spite you. And one of the examples that he had was a utility company was doing utility work and a road was closed because they had a 6-foot trench opened up in the road. You know, they're down underground working on fiber optic or cable or whatever. So the road's closed. And these people are trying to go down the road, and he's telling them, no, the road's closed, you know, turn around, go back. And they would try and get around the barricades and drive and get down the road just because he told them not to. And there's a 6-foot deep ditch dug across the road, you know. And he said it was always the younger black generation that would argue, and try and get around it just because he told them not to, you know. And he made a very prescient statement about it's going to be interesting to see how things play out with the with the stupid citizen problem, was the phrase that he used. And that's exactly what we have in this country, is a stupid citizen problem. And this is the result of popular culture, liberal culture, and government schools. Because the average American is a complete and total dumbass. It's that simple. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. These kids are no longer taught to reason. They're no longer taught to think for themselves. They're taught to obey and regurgitate. And they're not allowed to fail. They're not allowed to learn hard lessons. You know, if they have a lawnmower and it won't start, they're clueless. They have no idea what to do. And, you know, what was it Ben Franklin said? You have your republic if you can keep it. And there were other founders that said this form of government is only fit for a moral citizenry. And even the Frenchman Alexis de Tocqueville said, once the people realize that they can vote themselves a paycheck from the public coffers, then the republic will be doomed. And that's exactly where we're at. And of course, we do everything we can to bring in third worlders. And all this does is further water down the national IQ. I just finished reading a good book by, I forget what the guy's name was, but it was, he was taken hostage by Somali pirates. He was a journalist and he went to Somalia to write a story on Somali pirates. And he ended up getting his story because they kidnapped him and they held him hostage for 977 days until his 70-something-year-old mother was able to raise enough ransom money after 3 years of captivity to pay his ransom and get him out of Somalia. So he did get his story. But what was interesting was, once again, like Eric was saying, this guy started out as a raging liberal. He had grown up in the United States and hated the United States, so he moved to Germany and moved to Berlin, you know, and was a freelance journalist and all this crap. And he ends up, you know, getting captured in Somalia, and then he's praying for the Navy SEALs to come get him. The guy that hates America, you know, ends up praying for the Navy SEALs to come rescue him, and it's funny how that works, you know. He talked a lot about the basically how the Somali people had an IQ that was right borderline at mental retardation, that they couldn't figure out how to put a wheel back on a car, you know, when the wheel fell off of their car. They couldn't fix flat tires. You know, they couldn't solve basic problems. They, you know, it was pretty sad. And of course, you know, that's what we do. We bring as many of those type of people over here as we can, and then we have to make allowances for them. So that's where we're at. Now, the final topic that I want to talk about on the public half of tonight's show is one that Jeff has brought up a couple of times. And Jeff is a Patreon member. And you may, if you're a Patreon member, you are well aware of his work. He's had a couple of bonus episodes that he's done for us. He's a master reloader, and he's very precise in everything that he does. And I appreciate Jeff's contributions. I never get a chance to thank him enough. I'm usually pretty busy, but I think he knows that he's appreciated. But Jeff has talked about alternative communications, and that's something that I wanted to touch on tonight, because it would not surprise me one bit for during the election or post-election that authorities would cut the internet or cut cell service or impose draconian censorship on the internet to where only certain sites are available and up. You know, things like that. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's a definite possibility. It is definitely possible. So what would you do in that event? You know, what would you do if the cell service went down, if the internet went down? How would you exchange information and communicate with people? And on a larger level, with government intrusion and surveillance being what it is, how can you communicate securely in the event of further disorder, or what if the entire grid goes down? How could you communicate? And so I just wanted to throw some ideas out, and if you have any comments or anything you'd like to share along these lines, please share them, meattrapper@gmail.com. And let's start from the top. Let's go from the top down, the most sophisticated methods down. There are a number of apps that you can get on your cell phone that some of them also work on the PC as well. So we're going to start with the grids up, the cell network is up, the internet is up. And a couple of those apps you've heard me talk about before. One is Zello, Z-E-L-L-O. And that's what the Cajun Navy uses to communicate and coordinate when there's hurricanes down in southern Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, and Alabama. And basically, Zello turns your cell phone into a global push-to-talk walkie-talkie. So what happens is you download the app, you can create a channel, Tennessee Preppers channel or what have you. And then you can send people invitations to join that channel. And if they get an invitation, they can join. Or you can make the channel an open channel where anybody can join, which you wouldn't want to do. But at that point, you simply push a button on your cell phone and you speak into the cell phone, and it broadcasts globally to everybody who's a member of that channel. Everybody can hear it. You can send text messages on that. You can have an administrator who can block people and ban people. You can set up side channels or sub channels. And the Cajun Navy does this a lot where, they'll have one main channel for dispatching people to go rescue people, and they'll have a sub-channel of where to drop off supplies and all of that. Great app. Then you have basically encrypted messaging applications where, you send a text message to somebody or a group of people, and it's encrypted. And, Telegram is one of those. Signal is another one. So there are different apps you can look into like that. And there's a new one called Status, and Status is interesting because what it is a peer-to-peer mesh network application, which what that means is let's say the government decides to bust Telegram and take their servers offline. If that happens, then the entire Telegram app stops working. But if you have a peer-to-peer multi-node mesh network, the only way to take the application offline would be to take all the servers down. And you can run a server out of your bedroom, and there can be thousands of them. So all of this technology is evolving very rapidly, and this is the kind of stuff that Antifa uses to communicate securely. So that's the top tier. Now let's go down to the next tier, where it's not quite as sophisticated. A couple of these, you could have websites where you post things and people have the website address. You can have just basic email groups. And this was one of the fallbacks that it sounds hokey, but it's extremely hard to block. In other words, let's say that I have everybody's email address who is a Patreon member, and Patreon bans me, YouTube bans me, my ISP or my hosting company pulls my website, so I'm completely off the internet. I have no internet presence, no ability to upload a podcast, no ability to upload a video, no website to post anything on. If I just have everybody's email address, then I can send out a broadcast email from any computer. I can log on to any computer. I can get on an email hosting app, whether it's Gmail, Outlook, or ProtonMail, or what have you. And I can still send messages out to everybody by email, and they could send them back to me. That's really old school, but it's very, very hard for the authorities to shut down. So let's take it down a notch. Let's say the cell towers are down and the internet is down. Well, that leaves radio. And I've talked a lot about in the past about being an amateur radio operator. I'm one. Learn how to use 2 meters, learn how to use HF, shortwave. But then there's also other options. There's CB, You can have single sideband CB with 40 channels. You can use marine radios. I've done episodes in the past about how there are hunting clubs that use marine radios, which are VHF radios in the 160 megahertz range. Very good radios. I've talked about exactly which model to buy and why. So there's that. But you know, there's even a level further down. Let's say that there's no electricity, or you don't want to have anything that's monitored able to be monitored. Well, you can go all the way down to, you know, signals. People have used flags. People have used turning lights on and off. You could have a signal where if you have a flower pot on a certain wall, it means something. Or if the flower pot is not there, it means something. You know, Jeff had mentioned semaphore. And if you remember, semaphore is where you have a guy standing there and he has a flag in each hand and he wig-wags, you know, his arms, and he can send messages like that. And, you know, it sounds kind of hokey, but I just finished a book on coast watchers. And when the Japanese would raid these coast watching stations, the radios the coast watchers had, they took like 10 guys to break down and carry. The Japanese would tear them up, or the batteries would go bad, or a part would break, and you're on Guadalcanal up in the mountains. You can't, you know, there's no Amazon to order a new tube. So these guys would use semaphore to communicate, you know, four Japanese destroyers heading northwest, 30 Japanese bombers heading southeast, and the signals could get relayed by semaphore. So there's, you know, you can go all the way from the most sophisticated all the way down to piles of rocks. You know, if you read about Vietnam, the Viet Cong would often indicate that a trail was booby-trapped by the way they would arrange rocks on the side of the trail. And the locals knew, oh, you know, if you see that don't use this trail. You know, it's booby-trapped. So just be aware and be thinking about those things, and don't be dependent upon modern everything. It's sad. But like I've said before, we have to be as independent as possible, whether it's growing our food, catching and shooting our own meat, providing our own communications, or anything else. So if you were a Patreon member, please stay tuned for the second half of tonight's show. And if you are not, I would like to ask that you consider becoming one and supporting this broadcast. You can go to patreon.com/meattrapper and get signed up. It's a great community, and there's a lot of great material there, and we would greatly appreciate your support.